Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:44 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 26th. It's been a generally positive day right across risk assets in here today. And that started off in Asia. And while Japan was probably one of the only markets in negative territory today, the second section, which is so often a leader in that market, was in flying form and hit a new recovery high. So that's a generally positive message for the Japanese market. Elsewhere in Asia, the Indonesian market was also really quite firm today. And that was a trend that or a pattern that was pretty evident right across the Asian region. A number of those Asian markets, particularly Indonesia, have been underperforming since November. And they've been in the midst of what we've described as a mean reversion and a pullback towards their 200-day moving averages. And Indonesia did just that. It held pretty close to its highs from November, but pulled back fairly violently over the last couple of weeks, touched the 200-day moving average, and has bounced really quite emphatically in the last couple of days. So while we won't know for certain that this is the low for this reactive phase until the market has pushed on to new high ground, at a minimum, we can say now that a sustained move below this week's lows would be required to question scope for some additional upside and a reassertion of the medium-term uptrend in the near to medium term. So, and this has been really quite good action, and it's a pretty similar story across that Asian region. And the Philippines is another market which had pulled back really quite sharply, but was in positive territory in here today, and has also unwound most of its over extension relative to the 200-day moving average. The Indian market has also closed that overextension, and while India was closed today, such is the commonality across the Asian region that it wouldn't be so surprising if the Indian market were to also find support in this region. Now, India's perhaps a little bit different because you have had this deterioration in sentiment towards the governance of the country, but that can change relatively quickly, particularly if the stock market starts to fall into place. So, how India performs in the next couple of weeks will, I think, have a large bearing on just how that sentiment picture evolves, because it is at an area of potential support, and we've seen so many of these other indices in Asia rallying from those that similar areas of potential support, and there's little reason, I think, to expect that India won't be able to do the same. In Europe, this has also been a relatively firm day, and Stockholm or Sweden, which had been one of the weaker markets over the last couple of weeks, rallied really quite briskly in here today and was up almost 2%. But it was a generally firm tone right across the region, and the DAX in Germany closed up just under 1%. The FTSE wasn't far behind that. So it remains a generally firm tone for some of these stock markets. And Wall Street, as the Dow Jones approaches the close, it's at 12,001 point. And the Dow has been pausing in this region for about the last week. The S&P is getting right up there to the 1300 level. And these are natural areas for those indices to pause. They have become relatively overextended over the last few weeks, and there hasn't been any follow-through on last week's downward dynamics. So, at the moment, they've done nothing more than pause in what has been a relatively similar reaction compared to those that we've seen over the last couple of months, and they remain generally consistent. The Canadian market, which had also pulled back reasonably sharply, was up by 1.5% in here today. So this it has been a generally firm tone. I think I should also mention that in Asia, both Singapore and Taiwan were really quite firm in here today. And Taiwan has assumed a position of leadership, certainly of relative strength, in here over the last couple of weeks, and it's probably the market that's closest to pushing on to new recovery highs, followed closely, I think, by Korea. This was a very firm day for the commodity sector, and wheat in particular was up 18 and is less than 12 cents away from the August highs, which had marked that big emphatic breakout from the base. And it does now look like it's in the process of completing a first step above that base. So this relative strength in the commodity sector is continuing unabated, particularly in that agricultural sector. And it's been pretty firm right across the agricultural sector. So both corn and soybeans were really quite firm in here today. Cotton was limit up a full 5 cents. The rough rice contract was also very firm. The sugar contract was up over a full cent, almost 1.3 cents, and that also looks increasingly likely to push on and test its highs again. Coffee was also really quite strong, and also in the other agricultural commodities. So the agricultural commodities have certainly been where the relative strength is, and they also have the while there are large speculative positions in those markets, there is also the crop damage that's been sustained in a good deal of countries over the last year. And there is s still potential that those commodity prices are going to continue continue on up and post additional new highs. We're probably not yet in the position where the price of grain is causing widespread unrest or indeed hardship, but the trends remain consistent, and provided they remain consistent, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. So there is a certain inevitability that the price of these grains is going to become an increasingly political issue, and we are seeing the beginnings of that with the CFTC review, which will take about 6 months, and they could have. Well, I think it's pretty reasonable to expect that if we do see these grains, in particular, rallying emphatically higher, then that is going to influence the conclusions that the CFTC come to. At the moment, these grains are looking very strong indeed, and in terms of the consistency of their chart patterns, they're some of the more consistent out there, and that's a not inconsiderable point, a bullish point in their favor. The industrial metals had pulled back really quite violently over the last couple of weeks, and they all found support, at least short-term support, in here today. And copper was up by almost 6.5 cents, nickel up by over 600 cents. The continued relative strength leader in the industrial metal complex is tin, and it hit a new all-time high in here today. So tin remains the market where the greatest imbalance between supply and demand exists, and it also remains a very consistent advance. So it would need a clear upside failure now to check momentum before this thing goes on and hits additional new highs. Oil has been really quite weak over the last 2 weeks, and was also firmer in here today, up almost $1.50. So this has been a generally firm tone right across the commodity complex and risk assets generally. US Treasuries were down by almost 2 full cents in here today, and that's probably the other side of the risk asset coin. US Treasuries have been almost up one day and down the next over the last month, and it's quite a tight range that's developed between the sort of 118.5 and 123 area, and it's rapidly unwinding the oversold condition that had developed following that big decline from the August peak. And that would suggest that there is potential for these treasuries to break downwards in in the not too distant future, I think it's probably the only question is whether we they steady up here or we get a better shorting opportunity. But the fact remains that US Treasuries have been in an uptrend for much of the last 30 years. Yields are at historic lows, or at least close to historic lows, and supply of bonds of all shapes and sizes have been exploding. So it's looking increasingly likely that we've seen not just a low, but the low for yields and the peak for prices. And for the foreseeable future, any significant rally in US Treasuries will be a reasonably sound shorting opportunity. This was also an interesting day for the precious metals. Gold is finishing up on the day almost $11. Palladium is up almost 30, back above the $800 level. The platinum market, which has been reasonably volatile around this $1,800 level, is closing above that again in here today. And silver, which has probably pulled back sharpest of all, found support today in the region of 2650 and has finished up closer to 2750 in here today. So we're seeing at least short-term support being found by some of the industrial metals. And this is also a rather interesting area for the gold shares, because gold shares have fallen from a high of just under 600 at the beginning of December to a low in here today, or this week, closer to 495. So that's a considerable pullback. It's unwound completely. It's overextension relative to the 200-day moving average, and it's come back to test the 2008 peak. So this is an area of potential support, and it appears to be finding it. So people have perhaps been looking for opportunities in the precious metal markets, and certainly these gold shares in particular, and indeed some of those silver shares had become really quite expensive. But they have pulled back. They are finding support, and the medium to long-term outlook remains really quite favorable for the sector, and particularly when one looks at that NYSE Arca Gold Bugs Index. It's rallied really quite well in here over the last couple of days and appears to be finding support again, just where one would hope to see that happening. So we haven't been looking for anything more than a mean reversion, and it's looking increasingly likely that that mean reversion has already occurred in some of the better performing markets. And while there has been a big trend in the last couple of weeks in sentiment, with people saying to sell emerging markets, buy Wall Street, that that's going to be the big trade of the year, there's nothing to doubt that Wall Street isn't going to do well this year. And it's already done extraordinarily well in the last 26 days. But it's too early to write off the potential for growth markets to outperform, particularly with that positive Wall Street leash. And they are all looking like they're going to find support in the region of their 200-day moving averages, and that goes for stock markets as well as stock market sectors. And that's generally supportive of the bullish medium-term outlook, which has been very much a theme here since late 2008. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.